Welcome to Cosmic Aspirations Podcast, created by the cosmos, narrated by Feva Cristina.
Hello!
Exploring the universe in and of us through a cosmic storytelling of astrology, I want to welcome you to this cheeky journey of sensual shadow play as we claim our liberated authentic expression through expanded pleasure and playful embodiment as a new default for living and loving. Hello, cosmic lovers. I'm so happy you tuned into this episode with a priestess of the rose, my dear friend Dora, who has been initiating women into the womb mysteries and the power of their yonis. This is one of my favorite conversations to have right now. Everything that has to do with pleasure, as you know, but also with the womb mysteries that I've been diving more deeply into this summer. So in this episode, Dora and I talk about what the womb portal is and how can we work with the wisdom and the magic that it connects us to, no matter what your gender is. We're talking about the Mary Magdalene medicine that we are both connected to and have started to remember more and more of how the potency of her teachings is rising in this crucial time on planet Earth. We talk about the reclamation of our witch powers through diving into the darkness and the shadows that the witch wound can bring. Everything about that means and the way that sexuality plays such a crucial role in reclamation of our power and the healing of the world. And it touches my heart so deeply and it sends these beautiful waves of, my eyes are getting teary. To witness and be able to connect with powerful women like Dora, like you, like me, and the wonderful people that I continue meeting on this path. To be reclaiming our divine nature, stepping into our spiritual power, drinking up from our own soul and soaking our own essence. You know, this is what Cosmic Aspirations is all about. And I am so thrilled and honored to let you know that there is a new cosmic journey that I have the privilege to be a steward and a guide through. For those of you who are ready to discover the power that lies within your body that is beyond what you can even imagine right now. For those of you who are ready to evoke this divine remembrance, to become magnetic, confident, playful, expanded in your pleasure, and at peace and amusement with your human nature. You know, a lot of my work is in transforming mess and confusion into artful expression. And what a better way to do that than in collaboration with the spirit, with... Because this is the home for our souls, and so many of us long for a sense of safety, rootedness, and deep intimacy with the whole of life. But firstly, to be able to authentically express ourselves, to allow our voices to be heard, our gifts to be shared, to even be connected with the magic that lives inside of us, that we are. And so I would love to invite you to a group adventure where we come together in an intimate circle to remember ourselves as cosmic witches, cosmic beings that we are. I mean, this is the first announcement that I'm making about it. And it's something that has been knocking on my heart for a few years. And it's not that I didn't feel ready, it's just that I kept distracting myself with other things. And now that I gave myself the pause of this summer of not working, dropping in to truly hear what wants to be expressed through me, what is the medicine that my authentic frequency holds, it is really in holding the gateway, showing you the portals into this energetic landscapes of the quantum field of infinite possibilities of the Akashic Records, which to me is like a cosmic womb that is the home of the soul. And so instead of being an astrologer where people come to me for sessions and I tell you about your human design and jinkies, which is so powerful, but so often it's very heady, I want you to have a direct experience and a relationship with what we talk about in the sessions, to come in intimate union with the divine and explore what that means to you, to strengthen your own relationship with your cosmic guide without anyone being in the middle to translate it, because every interpreter is going to bring its own flavor, just like I do. Thank God mine is sassy and kinky and really cool and sweet. But what does your flavor taste like? How do you build that trust in your psychic gifts, strengthen your intuition, connect deeper with your own guides, and learn how to communicate with them in clear, life-altering ways? Have this direct experience with the essence. And so I invite you to join our Cosmic Witch one-on-one journey. Hola! It's an 8 weeks journey, 8 Saturdays starting October 21st. We will learn how to work with the Akashic Records, which is literally the library of your soul where the wisdom of the whole universe lies. We're gonna learn how to create rituals, how to live in a ceremonial way, how to set up an altar, and through that create a spiritual discipline, a consistent spiritual practice to merge that masculine and feminine essence of our devotion. And we're going to be using different tools like breathwork, meditation, visualization, embodiment, nervous system regulation, journaling. We're literally talking, expressing, and engaging all different aspects of our being. We're going to work with different spirit guides, gods and goddesses, how to work with symbolism. And I want to guide you to discover, who do you have connection to? What kind of symbolisms you want to work with, or rather, what kind of energetics, what kind of spirits want to work with you and through you? So through that, you know, it's going to be one big ceremony, the whole of the journey. It's Cosmic Witch one-on-one. You better know there are going to be some juicy rituals there, but really working with the somatics and the energetics and then translating that into the practice. Because so often, you know, my clients are going to tell me, well, I receive these messages, I feel like I have clarity, but then I don't know what to do with them. I gotcha. I hear ya. And so a part of the focus is really going to be not only exploring different creative ways of receiving cosmic guidance, because not everybody sees films in front of their eyes. Not everybody, you know, gets this immediate knowing of, oh, I'm channeling and I'm just speaking through. There are different ways that our bodies are attuned to receive. And sometimes we first need to open our bodies, our energetic channels, to even be able to receive more. And then gradually expand that capacity, because otherwise, you know, with the spiritual awakenings, when it's intense and immediate and radical, a lot of people kind of lose their shit. So we want to prep the body. We want to work step by step at the base of your own speed, your own body's wisdom, to clear your energetic field, teach you how to do that for yourself consistently, to become a part of your daily routine. And then with somatic practices, the emphasis on the integration, learn how to create visible, sustainable, long-lasting transformation through the cosmic guidance. And we're also going to learn how to hold sessions for others, if this is what you feel called to do, and how to work with other cosmic divination tools like astrology, tarot, dreams, and so on, without actually needing to study the nitty-gritty, but remember, connect to the symbolism, to the energetics that itself reveals to you. So yeah, juicy as fuck. And I think one of the things that I've been missing when I was doing my Akashic Records initiation and training is practice. And so we're also going to do exchange sessions with the witches that joined the course as well as with me. So I know some of you have been waiting for this, and I'm so, so honored to welcome you. Cosmic Witch one-on-one you can check out through the links in my bio on Instagram to learn more about the course. Feel free to drop in with me and ask any questions that might be on your heart. But I think your soul's gonna feel it. Your intuition is gonna guide you here if this is that moment in which you come to awaken to your magic and embody the wisdom of the universe. I think in this day and age, this is truly the most profound thing we can do, not only for ourselves, but for our lineages, for everyone around us, for the sake of the world, for the future generations, to create that safety with ourselves, with the cosmos. So that was my little intro. Thank you. I'm really excited. And now I invite you to find a comfortable position, take a deep breath, and allow yourself to be guided into this conversation with your heart, your soul, your womb, your yoni, and inviting the mind to attune to the awareness inside of you and soak in the love. I am sitting here looking at my dear, dear sister Dora, about to welcome you into a ceremonial space with us, to sit in a circle and feel into the feminine mysteries that we are about to explore today. And just like we like to make the whole of life a ritual, a ceremonial dance, we would also like to open today's episode with a little invocation, setting up the space and grounding into our bodies. So if you do have an opportunity to find a moment to close your eyes and just be guided by Dora through a little opening ritual, we encourage you to do so. And if not, you can still take a few deep breaths and be present with us as we open up to the flow. Hi, Dora.
Hello. Thank you. Yeah. Invocation of the womb. So maybe let's start by closing your eyes if you feel safe enough to do so. And then just beginning by taking a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. And next time, breathing in, seeing if you can take that breath all the way down to your lower belly. On the out breath, maybe you want to come with a sigh or a little sound of some sort. Let's do that one more time, breathing in all the way down to your lower belly. And with your breath already touching this part of your body, your lower belly, seeing if you can bring your awareness to the inside, to where your womb is situated. So in between your two hip bones. And just for a moment here, come aware of how your womb feels in this moment. And maybe there is numbness, maybe it feels hard to reach. Just know that numbness is also a sensation. Realizing if there is numbness, that is the first step of building a connection to your womb. But maybe today for you there is tingles. Maybe some tension. My womb feels quite heavy today as I'm in the beginning of bleeding, and I can feel it quite present. So without needing to change anything, just becoming aware of her. Welcoming your womb in this space. And inviting you as we go on this little journey together today in this podcast, to know that your womb is welcome here. And that she is the guide.
And with that, we welcome the energy of the sacred feminine, of the waters, of the cosmic flow. We welcome our cosmic team, our healed ancestors, our spirit animals, the enlightened masters, the beings of light, those who serve the light and only the light, the essence of our higher self. We welcome into the space the cosmic beings that hold the frequencies of the new dawn, of the ancient teachings that meet here in the present moment. We call upon the gods and goddesses, the forces of nature that are reflected within our bodies, that remind us of our divinity and our greatness. We invite into the space that remembrance of our truth and the embodiment of love. May we be the melodies and the torchbearers of this divine wisdom. And through this portal of the womb, we meet here with Dora. Thank you so much for guiding us through such a beautiful opening portal that the womb presents. And we're going to dive right into the mystery that this womb space in a way symbolizes. And I just want to ask you, what does the portal of the womb mean to you? What is this space, this doorway of the womb?
I think for me, the womb is a very like grounded, earthly feeling that I can sense inside. And it is the part of my body that when I connect to it, it brings me home. It is where I can feel my most empowered self, where it's anchored. And every time I don't feel empowered or I lose that, I can come back to that place, even just take a few breaths and re-find that strength as well as softness. So it kind of represents to me like the divine feminine, if you may say so, with its boundaries, with its powers, and with its enormous like softness, gentle tenderness, all including.
Like an anchor yeah. That really brings us into the body while representing this portal between different dimensions, literally the space in our bodies where life grows, where we come from. How fucking wild is that?
I know. Yeah, and it's also for me the place where I feel most connected to the earth, like the great cosmic womb in a way, and also other women. So I can almost physically sense a connection through my womb to the cosmic womb that we are all in, that the earth is in. And with that, almost like the little threads that connect all of our wombs together.
I love that you're bringing the cosmic womb and the womb of the earth, and then our physical womb, and then the energetic womb, being that thread of life. Now, what about for the folks without wombs?
So I think there is obviously the energetic womb that we can all connect into, but there is something very special of being in a female body and having either had a physical womb or still having a physical womb that gives like an embodied feeling of this concept of womb. I don't know what your experience with that is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just like on a hormonal, physical level, it is a different, let's say, vibration in a way, or a different structure. But I still feel like we're all energetic beings. We all carry this essence of the feminine and the masculine, and how powerful it is for the whole world to awaken to the energy womb that literally represents that net of safety for me, that net of cosmic support, that source energy that allows life to continue expressing itself. And so, you know, I've heard many people say that healing the sacred, or not healing, but bringing through, giving voice to the sacred feminine is the medicine that the world needs. And so to work with the womb wisdom, the womb medicine, I do feel like it's one of those pillars of life that will continue to birth the energy that will sustain the world, that will nourish our species. And so I feel like this is one of the most important works for all of us to connect to and be aware of in this day and age. And so I'm curious, like, what inspired you to start working with the womb?
Yeah, I think for me, it's like a reclamation of my body and of myself. It's a homecoming. For a lot of my life, until my early 20s, I've been living my life kind of from neck and upwards, and finding out that there is a body, and then finding out that there is a womb and also yoni, has been like a huge revelation for me. It's like finding an essence that lives in my womb. That's at least the way that I experience it. And it also holds all my like core wounds and trauma. Well, I don't know if it's all, but it definitely holds like a good chunk of them. And being with that and meeting what is there has felt like, I mean, challenging, obviously, but the releasing of that has been mind-blowing, and it has been like the biggest portal into inner child healing for me. And yeah, and also like past life trauma healing in my womb. I would say these are the two main things that I have connected to my womb so far, and that have been transformed.
Ooh. Yeah, you know, like when we look at the womb space in astrology, right, which is what I work with, we look at the fourth house, which represents home and family, our roots and the lineage, and it's at the bottom of the chart. So it is, in a way, a womb space, that maternal epigenetic flow of all of the inherited patterns, the conditionings of our childhood, that which we have all and are carrying through our epigenetics, the ancestral trauma, the ancestral gifts as well. But if we look at the history down the line, it hasn't been so sparkly. And so there is like this womb that is more connected to this physical plane, that is the depths of us, the most inner self, we say. But then there's also the 12th house, which would be that cosmic womb, that is the portal into the past lives, environments, literally where we come from as souls, not only on this kind of like physical earthly manifestation plane. And so with what you started with, saying that, you know, you have felt so disconnected before, you didn't even know what the power of the womb or the yoni is. Yet, you know, it's really something that is not talked about. We are not taught. Why do you think that is the case?
Yeah, I think it has something to do with years and centuries of suppression of the feminine. Absolutely. And it feels revolutionary, even on a, like, in a way, in a big way, and radical, to reclaim our womb space and our yoni. And I feel, for me personally, that it's my, like, it's my duty in this lifetime for me, and also for all the women that have walked before me, especially like my lineage, so in my family, but even more so all the women who are yet to come. Like, I really feel like I'm here to mark that change, that we're not going to suppress the feminine, the essence of, I say the feminine, and obviously, like you said before, you know, we all have feminine and masculine, but there is something about suppressing like female parts that is going to end with me.
You know, this systematic repression of the feminine that has happened under the patriarchal society, which, you know, hasn't been here since forever. There used to be a matriarchal society, which I imagine it was great, but not because women would rule over men in the same way that in patriarchy, women have been stripped from their rights, from their sovereignty, from their power, from their voice. It's really, I feel like for me, the matriarchal society, as also seen in the history, is much more about this equality, because it does connect us into this sense of oneness, into the cosmic womb, and the women being kind of the barriers of that remembrance, of that wisdom, of that interconnectedness between everything in the world. And that's why women, you know, are the witches. Most often are the oracles, are the priestesses. And I know this is a pillar of the work that you're doing also as a ritualist. And, you know, like you said, we're not only doing this reclamation for ourselves, we're doing it for the lineage of women, for the lineage of love that has been suppressed in the name of earthly abuse of power. And that is not to shame or guilt trip men. It is much bigger than just men as gender. It is about the flow of the qualities of the, it's about the qualities of the essence. It's about the energetic qualities. That's what I wanted to say.
When you said about priestesses and healers, and traditionally often women being that, this is also something that I relate quite like closely to the womb, because you mentioned earlier the womb as a portal, and I think this is really where it comes into place. So I have experienced this. Can I go a little bit into like a background?
Oh, please,
yeah. Story. Basically, in the beginning of this year, I went on a pilgrimage that lasted 3 months. To Glastonbury in England. And I had felt for quite a while, maybe like a year or a year and a half, that I really need to go to Glastonbury. And that voice just kept getting louder and louder. And then I ended up actually holding retreat there and also staying, yeah, for quite some time after. And there was two significant things that happened there. I mean, there was loads of things, but two that stand out to me now.
But why Glastonbury? Can you give us a little bit of a context for those who don't know?
Yeah, I think Glastonbury first came into my field when I learned, and when Mary Magdalene came into my field, basically. When I heard about her, when I started reading a few books about her, and it just came as like, this is the place you need to go. And I had also heard it from a lot of my friends, and I have been in England quite some time before. And it, I mean, right now it just feels like, how not Glastonbury? Like, it feels so much like a home to some extent. It definitely is a place I have wandered in lifetimes before. But yes, it's very much connected to the Path of the Rose and Mary Magdalene.
As like a sacred site where Mary Magdalene has spent quite a lot of time as a priest,
exactly.
Right? Like teaching, practicing, connecting with other priestesses.
Yes, and it is a place where it is said that priestesses have been initiated. So both priestesses and also high priestesses. And there is, there's the Glastonbury Tor, which is like on a hill. And then there's also Wirral Hill, which is on the opposite side of Glastonbury Tor. And it's said that there is an ancient tunnel system that connects these two hills underneath and also some of the town. And that there is some chambers in these hills where the high priestesses and the priestesses would have been initiated into like 21 days of darkness. And some of them were without food. And yeah, it was like a real thing to be initiated. So one of those entrances to this so-called tunnel system is on what they call today the Magdalene Chapel. And I had the privilege to be part of a retreat where we went to different sacred sites and did some anointing and some initiating with Mary Magdalene, or the spirit of Mary Magdalene, let's say. We were a group of women. And so we went and finished this retreat in the Magdalene Chapel. And there I received, or it happened, let's say, like a significant energetic birth out of my womb. It basically felt like that. I was almost like kneeling or like hunched on the floor, like as if, I don't know what the position is, but you know, like as if you really want to give birth to something. And it felt like I was journeying with an intention of being here to share my gifts, voice, and offering. And I felt that there was something in my womb, like an ancestral like a fear that wasn't only mine. It was so deeply rooted. And it was this fear of being killed for sharing the work that I came here to share. Maybe you could also label as the witch wound.
Yeah.
So it was quite clear to me that this is what, like, this is at least part of that fear that I am releasing into this earth in Glastonbury in the Magdalene Chapel. And yeah. And it released. And after that, I had a bleed, my last bleed in Glastonbury, and it was a really painful one. And it was like dark blood and very cluttered. And it really felt like there was another release of this fear happening. Yeah. And then after that, I have always had some, like at least a little bit of pain when having my period. But after this bleed, all my other bleeds have been completely pain-free. So
Wow.
I really, really deeply felt that there was something that was healed in my womb on an
Wow.
energetic and physical level through releasing that fear.
Wow, what a powerful experience. Ooh, thank you for sharing. A few things come up to kind of like anchor into while you shared this story. And I just want to start with like the calling that you had of like this mysterious voice, this energy coming to you. And this is like the art of learning how to listen to our cosmic guidance, to this different aspects of our soul calling us that this different power places in the world can have for us to further unlock a certain remembrance of the lifetimes that we have spent on this planet. And when I say lifetimes, it doesn't mean necessarily for me, in my perspective of past lives, that it needs to necessarily be a past life in the 17th century and now you're here. For me, everything is kind of happening simultaneously, because what is time? Like in this earthly plane, we see time as linear. In the energetics, it is all just a vortex. It is all just interdimensional. So what is happening then, what is happening now, it doesn't really matter. That's why we work with the Akashic Records, which is the quantum field where there is no past or future. It is all happening in the now. And this is why I love the symbolism or like the womb wisdom, because it literally connects the past and the future and teaches us how to work with bending time, with bending energetics to create, to birth something fresh, something new, something true. So I just want to honor you for listening to that whisper, for listening to that calling and actually answering it. Because so often we are held back by fear of like, oh, but this is not possible. Oh, but I don't know how to make this happen. Like there are always going to be thousands of reasons why not to the logical mind, to the linear mind, to the voice of the mind that has been conditioned and that we have so deeply identified with that we forgot about the different voices that we have, the language of the soul that we have once known as children. And I feel a lot of this sacred feminine work, the work with the cosmic energies, the womb, is remembering how to understand the languages of the universe, of the intuition on a new level.
Yes, I love what you're saying about remembering, because it really is that. It is there. Like all of it is there already. And it is now time to remember it.
Yeah, and if the womb is that remember that connection to the cosmic womb, which is the eternity, the field of infinite possibility, that means that this field of infinite possibility lives in our bodies too. So when we know how to tune into the body, how to be present with the body, and I know you work with de-armoring too, of like working with the somatics of how to unlock this energetic flow so that oh, we can inhale this new possibilities, this remembrance into the now. Like this is where this magic happens. This is where you become magic. You remember your own magic.
Yes, exactly. And you mentioned the word de-armoring. It's really a powerful tool to meet whatever is there that's in the way or still holding us back from letting the flow of the womb and of the cosmic womb flow freely.
And you know, with this contraction that can happen when the worries come, when the fears come, the doubts of like, oh, am I, what is my calling, the confusion, the drama of the mind, like that feels like a contraction in the body, that feels like pain, like the ick, the tension, right? And I guess these are some of the pain points that you would work with in the de-armoring, I imagine, of releasing this tension. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say, I don't know if it's like the confusion. With the confusion, I would probably much more work with like deepening into the feminine qualities of trust.
Mm.
And how can we, yeah, how can we work with that? For example, with like a pleasure touch massage.
I love that.
Yeah, and nervous system regulation, like loads of nervous system regulation to really feel that physical sensation of lean back. Your truth is already there.
Yeah, the feminine essence, right? Dropping back into the body, dropping back into the senses, because the confusion is the stuckness in the mind of trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Which is not the point. The point is in tuning into that deeper knowing that lies within the body. And this is when you, when we say remembrance, right? It is a somatic response. Something in your body just responds with an opening, with a... the goosebumps, the excitement, the ecstasy in your body. Like, remembrance is something that is not necessarily made to be explained with the words, with the mind, with the logic. It just is that felt sense. How do you experience remembrance?
Yes, I experience it just like that. Like, I experience it as a physical shiver, goosebumps. I have it right now, actually. And then I know, ah, this is my truth. Like, that is the feeling.
Yeah, and it takes us a while to really tune into what are our hints, what are these different voices, and then to be able to follow them, because, you know, we literally have been cut away from this intuitive power, because you mentioned the witch wound, which was literally the systematic genocide of awakened, tuned in women, women that were beautiful, that were knowledgeable, that were in tune with nature, that were living their cyclical flow, women that were confident, that were speaking up their truth. This was not happening so long ago. This was like a few hundred years ago. And this trauma still lives in our bodies. This is the epigenetics. The women in your land, the women in my land, they have all experienced that. And so I again want to congratulate you and celebrate you for following your impulse, for answering your calling, even though it's quite radical in the modern society way. It is not something given. It is not a conventional path. And it is one for which you would have been burned at a stake just a few hundred years ago. Just the fact that we're sitting here having this conversation, women before us were not able to. The fact that the listeners can be listening to this conversation right now, that we have the access to this information, to these stories, to this knowledge, it is a privilege that hasn't been around for so long, to be able to travel to these sacred sites and remember the great priestesses that walked before us. Some that, yeah, are mentioned by a godly name, but also, you know, the witches that were cooking in the kitchens, that were working in the fields, that gathered together by the fire in the evening, stirring pots and singing, like those were all, this is the witch lineage, the priestess lineage for me, the medicine women before us. And yet, you know, they have been condemned, they have been stoned, they have been burned, they have been kept like caged. And just to see what happened with the image of Mary Magdalene, where the Christian church has made her into a whore, into a prostitute, where that was not her story.
Yeah, exactly.
What the society, how the society viewed powerful women.
Who were also connected to their sexuality.
Oh, yeah, that's another layer of it. But
yeah.
So Would you want to share a little bit more about your connection with Mary Magdalene and her story in the way that like you experience her and the way that you work with her?
Yeah, I would say the main way that I relate to her is her teaching, which is that there is no teaching from the outside. So that all our teaching is Gnostic wisdom. So this is experienced wisdom in your body.
Fuck yeah. The embodied spirituality. That's what we're here for, baby. That's that spiritual sovereignty. That is that spiritual power that we are reclaiming right now.
Mm-hmm.
Hot.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, what else? I guess there's something about her union with Yeshua that I also relate to, and that feels very powerful in this time that we're in right now. Yeah. Something about like committed partnership and showing you, you know, this, what maybe we call today conscious relating. So being in a partnership, not to like need a partner to be perfect, but actually to know that there is parts of each other that can bring out exactly what it is that would help you to release and grow more. And in a safe space. So there is the sacred union bit, and there is the alchemy through sex magic with both with yourself and also with your partner. There is using sexual energy for manifestation. There is, yeah, walking the path of the priestess.
And what does a priestess mean to you? How would you define being a what is a priestess? What is a priestess?
I think a priestess to me is a woman who is connected to herself, to her body, and is in some way like compelled to share what is coming through her with the world. For the, I guess it's always a bit like what the outcome will be, but I guess with an intention of supporting the healing of both humans and earth, like simultaneously at this time.
Yeah. And would you say the witch and the priestess are the same? Or would you differentiate those terms?
To me, they maybe feel a little bit different, but the essence is quite similar. So for me, the priestess feels a little bit more, almost like walking a little bit taller and speaking to larger groups, showing some, giving some energetic transmissions of sorts, whereas the witch to me feels like, you know, she's down in the earth, like she works with the nitty gritty stuff, and she works with you like whilst we're all in the field, whereas the priestess is there, and she is to be seen and she is to be felt, and with that gives her transmission.
So in that I almost like see the priestess. I immediately think about the high priestess card from tarot. Like the priestess comes with this grace, right? One that is like comes with this purity where there is almost no personality. She is just a channel, an embodiment of the divine in like this very pristine, high vibrational way. One that is like holding the space between the veils and is this great channel of this cosmic wisdom and is here to initiate people into their own remembrance, into seeing divinity in themselves and in everything else in the world. Whereas the witch it's almost like that wild sacred feminine that comes, yeah, like with this earthly aspect that is here to embody the divine in the full spectrum of the emotions, the messy emotions that human essence holds as well, that is here to express that full spectrum of what it means to be a divine in a physical manifestation. And so to me, the priestess is almost like a presence, an energetic flow, whereas the witch can be loud, the witch can be, oh, can she roars, whereas the priestess kind of sings, and there is no higher or lesser. It's just like a different embodiment of nature.
Yeah, and I believe that we can embody these archetypes, you know, at different points in our lives and also simultaneously.
Oh yeah.
Like they don't have to be separate.
Oh yeah.
And we can call upon them in different situations. And sometimes they may even just be present for you to connect to when it's required.
I love
at
that.
At least that's how I experience that.
For sure, because like to me, gods and goddesses, witches, priestesses, whatever, archetypes are the forces of nature, like I said at the beginning, that live within us and all around us, that represent the essence of existence in many different manifestations here in the physical. And so I'm curious, like, what archetypes do you also feel connected to, and what do you call them for? Like, when you're connecting to Mary Magdalene, what is your intention for that?
I call upon Mary Magdalene to connect to my truth and to what is the truth in the moment. It's almost like it cuts away any and every bullshit that could be connected to whatever it is that I'm sitting with, whether that is something outside, but oftentimes it's like my own stories. It just like falls away and shows me this is it. I also call upon her, like she also brings to me like this warm compassion. It feels like a warm hug. It's deep love with clarity in it. So it's like, I'm here with you and you got this, and the more you lean back, the more you know what is true.
I love that, because that is also to me the essence of a ritual, of living in this sense of ceremony, you know? Like the art of ritual for me is really just holding space and allowing the mystery to unfold, where we kind of allow the mind to stand back, and this wisdom of the soul to come alert. And if Mary Magdalene, as a high priestess, or any other gods or goddesses from any kind of lineage, or even a symbol, an object, whatever sacred aspect of life that we choose to assign a certain meaning, that we feel connection to, that we want to work with, this can be the elements, this can be Mama Gaia, this can be anything, really, something that allows us to connect to our greatness, to our divinity, and then just letting the healing unravel, the love to shine through, the process to do its most natural thing. And we are just here witnessing, allowing, holding that pillar of truth, of light, of compassion, and then responding to the impulses of love and the guidance of our intuition. So for me, the art of ritual is really in honoring what is and listening to what is. And that's what it's usually there. What you're describing, the truth, right? That in this ritualistic ceremonial space, we allow our brains to build new pathways, our bodies to find a new way of being with this spaciousness, to allow our automatisms to go to rest and encode these new ways of being into our body and then bring it into our everyday lives. And I know you work a lot with rituals, and I'm curious, what place does ritual have in your life, and how do you incorporate it into your practices, into your teachings, as well as your personal life?
Yeah, thank you. I actually feel that ritual for me is like a bridge. Mm. Like it's the bridge between the spiritual world, which feels to me is a bit more up here, and the physical plane, which is like coming from the earth and up. And it's like in this sphere, the ritual happens and it links them together.
Love that.
Yeah, so it actually feels like it brings together the qualities of the high priestess with the qualities of the earthly witch. And in my rituals that I do myself, and also that I share in ceremonies and sessions, I incorporate a lot the four elements and also the seasons, which to me feels, I guess, more like the earthly witchy part. And it also relates to the cyclical nature that we have within. Mm-hmm. And then I combine it with Mary Magdalene, with the rose. I work a lot with the rose in my rituals.
And what does it mean to you, the symbolism, the essence of the rose?
Yeah. To me, the rose symbolizes like the essence of the feminine.
Mm-hmm.
It's the rose that blooms when she is ready. You cannot force her to open. It is the rose that has thorns, has clear boundaries, because only when we have clear boundaries can we soften and can we actually reveal the beauty that is there.
I love that, because that creates safety. And to me, this is what ritual is. Like, we literally create a safe space for ourselves to be in our bodies, to be with the mystery, with the unknown, which is something that we constantly run away from in our everyday life usually. And so for me, it's in the meeting of the masculine and the feminine, the masculine structure and container that the ritual creates, and then the feminine flow that is infused into the dance that happens within a ritual.
Yes, absolutely. And with that also, if we work with symbols, for example, or the rose also, it is again to me connected to this remembrance, remembering through symbols, through the smell of the rose. It's like, yeah, it tickles something inside me, which is an ancient remembering. Sometimes it brings up memories of past lives where I have been in priestess ceremonies, where I've been initiated with rose petals and all sorts of things. And I do believe that symbols carry like codes from different times through gates and into this time right now.
Absolutely, like portals. And that's the thing, like everything has its own frequency. Everything in life has its own aliveness. This is what Vedas have been teaching us. Like I've been studying Vedas a little bit, and it's like it says there, even a stone has its own consciousness. It's just a different way of it. And so once we start relating to life as everything is alive, everything is sacred, which I believe is a way of the priestess and the witch in recognizing the divine in the most mundane, the whole new field of possibility opens. That's when we're working with the womb, you know? That is that portal where the cosmic womb is almost like reflected and translated into these symbolisms, into these objects, into the phenomena, the ideas, the whatever altar objects and altar space, either physical or energetic, we want to work with to connect with the sacred, with the mystery of life.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, the rose is said to carry the highest frequency that a flower can obtain. So by having a rose, like a physical rose, in your practice space or when you do a ritual, it's like your frequencies and energies can easier align to higher frequencies and the frequency of love when you work with the rose.
Yeah, because that's the consumerism at its highest. Because like anything that we're taking into our bodies, whereas there is food, those are drinks, the news, the content, the people in our field, it's like we are gonna vibrate. Like they say, the five people that you spend the most time with are the reflections of where you're at this point of life, right? So like being aware of what we allow into our space, physical, energetic, whatever it is so important. So yeah, and plus what you're saying with the rose, I hear it's connecting you to the senses. It is allowing you to be here and now in your body, because the body is the main altar that is here to receive all of this guidance, all of this wisdom. And so as historically, we've been cut from sexuality, which is literally connecting us to the life force energy and the pleasure of being in the body. We've been cut away from this deeper connection with the wholeness of life, with this unconditional love that is then infused in this little remembrances of a rose. And how much we can learn these forces of nature, like you said, the way that the rose opens up when she's ready. Well, what does that remind us of? Of a yoni.
Exactly. There is actually difference. So when I have been initiated into the path of the rose, we've been working with the different colors of the roses as gateways almost. So starting with the gate of the womb, of the yoni, which was the red rose. So it was all about sacred sexuality. It was about reclaiming your first bleed. It is about like, what is in your womb? What are you carrying? And then moving up to the pink rose, which is the gateway to the heart and the medicine woman, the healer. And then moving up again to the third eye and to the crown chakra, which is the white rose, which symbolizes Christ consciousness and connection to the spiritual. So there is different ways of working with the rose as portals and as gateways to unlock different things in you, basically.
I love that. And, you know, working with the power of yoni, that allows us to reclaim our pleasure, our sexuality, our sovereignty, safety of our body, of our femininity, sensuality, you name it. And actually, I think you are the one to name it, because I know one of the pillars of your offerings, of the way of the priestess that you feel called to serve, is through the yoni circles. And I'm curious, like, what does a yoni circle mean? What happens in a yoni circle?
In a yoni circle, we gather in circle, because there is something, we gather in circle with women, and we gather in quite a small circle, so with max 10 women. And there is something that happens when more than two, so like when minimum three women come together, there is magic happening in the space.
I mean, this is how it used to be before the internet, right? Women would gather in small groups, in villages, in forests.
Yeah. And like it is essential more than ever to do that again now, because we have been like suppressed strategically over centuries. And there is a lot of shame, especially to do with the genitals. And by meeting in circle and inviting those parts of our body and inviting full attention to those parts of our body can be like an extremely life-changing and liberating moment in a woman's life.
For sure. And also, it can be quite triggering at first. Like, I have heard many women say of like, oh, I usually don't like the women-only circles. And I understand that. I used to be the same with like, even like the waves of feminism that I feel like we have been exposed to. You know, I studied social sciences, anthropology, la la la. Like, that was like a hardcore political feminism where the women, of course, were fucking angry and were like, we've had enough. And so, you know, we needed to rise into certain qualities just to get enough ahead to get our basic rights back. But now this has also been shifting in a way of like, okay, we're softening again. We're actually bringing that feminine essence into the feminism, which in a way has been a little bit lost or suppressed for a reason. Again, it takes a certain volume of the voice to actually be heard. And now we're starting to sing again. And now the subtle whispers of the feminine are being weaved through the circles, like you're mentioning. But what I think is a part of this contraction is also the historic distrust with women. Like, I have held so much of that, of not feeling safe around women. I used to mostly hang out with guys when I was a teenager and growing up early 20s. And now I have, for the last few years, I have this deep longing to be around other women. It has become healing. But, you know, in the witch times, as you probably know, it was kind of keeping yourself safe by pointing at the other woman that, oh, no, no, she's a witch. Or, you know, there was a beautiful woman and you were afraid that your man is going to go after her, because you were dependent on the on your own sense of safety and survival by being connected with a man, being married to a man, being the bearer of children. That was your only sole purpose, and maybe slightly being a workforce in the farms. But yeah, women were turning each other in for the sense of survival. And I see so much of that still present in our relationships, in the sisterhood, that sister wound.
Yes, absolutely. And that is one of the things also that the witch hunt, like, deeply rooted in us, this competition between women and, yeah, calling each other out. Almost. And that is absolutely something that might come up. If it hasn't come up for you in a women's only space, then maybe you don't carry that wound, or maybe you haven't been to women's only spaces.
Or maybe, you know, we're also so numbed out and so distracted by so many other coping mechanisms that we needed to develop, that we were coded with. You know, I noticed that one of my woundings or coping mechanisms of numbing are like worrying about the way my body looks or the way my body feels, or numbing with sugar and TV shows, or distracting myself by social media. It's like all of these ways that we are distracted from being in our feminine power, they are there for a reason to cut us away from this felt sense from our feminine power. And once I started, that was kind of recently, looking at all of the ways that I go into worrying about the future, worrying about, am I in my purpose? Am I doing enough? Like, seeing it as just a distraction from feeling good. And feeling safe in myself and the world. Because if I am safe in myself, then I'm sovereign. And then no one can control me. And so it's much easier. Like, that really clicked when I was listening to a podcast by Leila Martin and Emily Fletcher when they went on a pilgrimage through the sacred sites in Greece. Which, if you remember, when we were in the tantric community together this summer and we opened up the Akashic Records together of our work, what came through was a pilgrimage in Greece. And like, then this weekend, hearing about their pilgrimage, it was just like, oh. And now we're connecting. And it's like, oh, yeah, this is the interconnectedness with life. This is how synchronicities work. But something that helped this click inside my system, and I feel like I'm able to, through my somatic practices, also shift it in my body, is just this understanding that in order to control feminine power, they made women hate themselves, because then it is a self-regulating system. If you're too busy worrying about your appearance, about your worth, about your sense of safety, survival, competition, whatever it is, the fears that we hold,
and the shame
and the shame and the guilt that is stored in the body, well, then you're a self-operating system of keeping yourself small, which so many of us are doing. Right? Whenever I'm in front of like a bigger expansion, I'm gonna start eating more, put on weight. That will make me feel like, oh, now I have to go into hiding. Now I'm trying to, you know, it's like all of the ways that you kind of quote unquote self-sabotage yourself, just a distraction from actually experiencing pleasure, ease, greatness, divinity in your body. Because we don't know how to be with that sensation. How do you experience this witch wound?
Well, I would say, like, to experience or be connected to the feminine power, we cannot bypass our genitals. So we cannot bypass the womb and the yoni. So yoni being the Sanskrit word actually, like, meaning vulva, vagina, and womb.
Yes.
But sometimes it is referred to just for the vulva and vagina. So sometimes I say yoni and womb, even though really the womb is already included.
Look, I have a vulva from the ocean of Bali.
Wow. That's beautiful. I love that.
Center altarpiece.
Yeah, I actually have like a plaster figure of my own vulva.
Fucking girl.
As the centerpiece of my altar at home.
You know, I was joking with my mom the other day. We were talking about like certifications, because we're both doing the somatic trauma release training right now together. Hello. But like, my mom was like, yeah, you know, but I do value certifications, because I'm kind of against them, because I feel like sometimes they give you a false sense of validation without actually people embodying that wisdom. This is not a way of the priestess for me. It's not in a piece of paper that hangs on your wall. And I literally said to her, you know what? I'm going to hang a plaster of my vulva on my wall and have that as a certification. So
that's right.
New way of doing things. Feminine business, baby.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah, I know. But that also just shows the importance of, and the power that just the vulva carries, right? And the, like, I am in such disbelief that I have walked this earth for so many years, not knowing what kind of magical, powerful, pleasurable organs I have.
She's like psychedelic.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not just about the pleasure, but it's also about the pleasure. Mm-hmm. But it's about, you know, reclaiming the power that lies within. That is our birthright. You know, we are born with this.
Mm-hmm.
And every woman deserves, and in my opinion, like, needs to at least once look at her vulva and see her eye to eye and see, like, wow, that's you.
Mm-hmm.
That's hi. You know?
Fuck yeah. Absolutely. And, like, you know, a few years ago in the same community that you lived for a while, I don't know if you were there in 2021 when during one of the festivals we had, I don't know, a women's circle where we did yoni gazing. So there were literally the kinis, the priestesses, the kini in Vedic tradition is a witch that is connected to the root chakra that is here to anchor us in that pleasure. And so there were women who opened up their yonis for other women to come and gaze. And they said that, like, when you gaze long enough, it's like a yantra. It's like a sacred symbolism that unravels the secrets of the universe to you when you are open yourself up to see and experience, because it is a portal. Were you there at that session?
I wasn't, but you know, this resonates so much with me. And that was the experience that I had when I first gazed at my yoni. Mm-hmm. And that was actually also, I think, in the summer of 2021. Mm. And it was this feeling of like seeing, in a way, the whole universe, but also seeing my essence, you know, like this is literally my portal to the inside, to my truth. Mm. It is the entrance way to getting to know myself on a cellular level. Mm. And I believe that we are here to do that. You know, we are here to reclaim our bodies and our wisdom.
Yeah.
And we cannot do that unless we include our genital.
Yeah, especially because our genitals have been the most shamed of all parts of our bodies, abused, misused, you know, condemned as something that is disgusting, that is yucky, that you need to be concerned about the way it looks, the way it smells, the way it feels. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, everything, like, we are sacred. So obviously, when we believe that we are sacred as human beings and as beings, then our genitals also inherently need to be sacred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there is a bit of, because of what has happened in the past, I believe there is like a getting to know process almost, mm-hmm. and meeting.
Reclaiming, yeah. Yoni as a temple. And so, mm-hmm. we're here to worship her, to bring her the offerings, to work with her in very sacred, ceremonial, loving, gentle, slow ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this is also the way that it will happen in the Yoni Circle. That's going to start on the 12th of October, where we will meet once a week for a 2-hour ceremony. And there will always be, you know, opening up sacred space, creating safe space, working with the nervous system. And this will actually be over Zoom. So there is that part where you can choose to be in your safest space at home.
Yeah.
To still be in circle, but you're in your home.
Yeah.
And that can add like a layer of safety already within.
Yeah, for sure. And also, you know, like anchoring, like every spiritual practice, it does, you know, I feel like the feminine kind of spirituality that I have seen, like living in Bali and other places too, it has really, yes, honoring the cyclical nature of the feminine and the inconsistency, the messiness. You know, the feminine pole in astrology is the moon, which is the fastest moving object from the perspective of the earth. So she's moody, she shifts, she changes quickly, she's not consistent, she is ever flowing, waning, mm-hmm. and then growing and so on, and shining and going within. So yes, yes, yes. And there is this masculine aspect of our spiritual devotion, which is in the discipline. And this is actually something that I'm trying to reclaim a little bit for myself, where yes, ritual and also some kind of consistent spiritual practice. And that's why, like, in Vedic tradition, they're so big on, like, have your altar, you sit there every morning, every evening, because it becomes a safe, sacred space where you sit, and by conditioning yourself in a new way, it automatically infuses that deep exhalation of your system. Because, like you said, working on the nervous system, which I know it's something that you put so much emphasis on, because if we don't have nourished, regulated nervous system, forget about the pleasure. We're too blocked for it. So this is literally a doorway to experiencing more pleasure, and experiencing more pleasure in our lives, not only sexual, but also, but like pleasure that weaves and waves through all areas of our lives. This is how we reclaim our power, and this is what I personally believe will ultimately heal the world. But like that authentic, sacred pleasure that is connected with the divine, that is not in instant gratification and wooba wooba hapa hapa, I don't even know what that sounds like, but one that waves like an ocean that washes you, that feels like making love to the universe, meeting God through pleasure. And for that, we need to meet all of the places where we don't feel pleasure, when we are repressed, when we are in the darkness, where we feel shame and guilt. So it's not always a pretty journey, but thank God we have the ritual to ease that in. Thank God we have the goddesses and gods. Thank goddess we have priestesses like you, the witches like me, the brave souls that are listening to this, that are like, fuck yeah, I feel this in my pussy, whether physical or energetic. There is in the reclamation of the pussy for all her glory, that I do think is the new way. And so how are you reclaiming pussy through yoni circles?
Yeah, we are actually, you mentioned altar. You know, building an altar and tending your altar. This will be part of the journey. We'll have an intro on altar building, an altar dedicated to your yoni, where the invitation will be to tend and revisit this. I mean, minimum once a week for our calls, but really every day. So it's like a deep dive to connect to your yoni. And we will go into detail what does it mean to build an altar and all of that in the opening ceremony. And then we have different, let's say, tools where we can meet and reclaim our yoni. So we do that. One of the main ones is through mirror work.
Mm-hmm.
So it is in a way a very basic practice, but it is so like powerful. I cannot even put it into words.
No, but that's the thing, you know, I feel like we have become way too fancy. We're actually the most magic and potency usually lies in the simplest of practices. It's just that our minds want to complicate and create drama because we're so used to the glamour and the situation of things. But absolutely, like in the breath, in the presence, in the meditation, in the simple gazing, being with what is there and listening, I feel those are the most potent practices, and it doesn't take that much.
Yeah, it doesn't. And it also is, so actually the yoni circle is kind of built like it's like a journey, you know, and we start with the altar, and then the next stop on our journey is actually like female pleasure anatomy. Because how can we reclaim something that we don't know exists?
Oh, yeah. That's always the first step. You need to know. Yes, yes, yes. You need to know in order to be able to experience it. I 100% agree with that.
Is it, you know, last summer was the first time that I saw my cervix, because I asked my gynecologist, can I please like have a mirror and can you show me how my cervix looked? And that also was a life-changing moment for me. Because I saw a body part of me that literally felt like, you know, an avatar when they plug their their tails in. Like, that's what it felt like. It felt like, wow, that's my entrance way, you know?
The gatekeeper.
And it looked like a tiny pink donut. And I had never seen that. Like, I'd never seen it on any pictures or anything. I didn't even know what it looked like. It was just an abstract cervix. I don't even know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing it. So we're gonna spend one ceremony on really like knowing what is in us, basically. And we're also going to talk a lot about pleasure anatomy, because our vulva and vagina is made for pleasure.
Like, and there's so much more than a clitoris.
Exactly. There's so much erectile tissue that we just have no idea. And how to indulge that and how much time is actually needed for blood to run there so that we can feel that pleasure. Mm-hmm. So there's loads in this female anatomy reclamation bit.
I think this is so important. Like, I think it was 3 years ago, I did this like self-pleasure training. And in the training, I guess we did a little bit of like self-de-armoring where we're touching different parts of our genitals. It was mixed gender. And then we were kind of rating of the levels of sensation that you feel in different parts. And we did this at the beginning and then at the end of the training. And it was so interesting. There were certain parts of my body, of my yoni, that I could barely, like, I could feel it with my finger, but I couldn't feel it inside of me. And that process of slow desensitization that then happens, because you know what? There's oftentimes so much trauma stored there that it's the self-loving protection mechanism of our body to numb it out a little bit. But then it shows up in painful sexuality and so on. But all of the times that female body is entered too quickly, again, mm-hmm. please let everyone know it takes a while for the yoni to open like the rose. I don't mm-hmm. think enough people are aware of that. I was just watching Sex Education on Netflix the other day, and like they're literally there to educate about sex, right? The whole show is made for that, and they have some good points. I give them that. But then the main two characters had sex, and it was just like close off, poof.
Yeah,
I was like, what?
Sticking him. It's like, no. It doesn't happen like that. Stop showing this.
And that's not to say that it doesn't sometimes happen when like the energy is big and the arousal, the foreplay has been happening throughout the day or weeks or whatever, you know. Of course, there are different ways, but please, like, listen to her. She will let you know. The yoni literally sucks in whatever comes to the entrance when she's aroused, when she's open, when she's activated.
Yeah, absolutely. This was actually something that I made a promise to myself when I saw the moment that I was there, mirror between my legs, looking at my vulva and at my opening. And there was amazement, you know, and there was deep sorrow for all the times that I allowed her to be entered before she and I were ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a promise that day that I will not do that anymore, that I will let her be the guide, you know. Like, I don't know if I said that out loud to her, but I'm sure I did at some point. And I am doing my very best to keep that promise. Sure, there's like one or two times, but it is the kind of rule that I live by now. Like, I ask her, are you ready? Sometimes my mind wants to be ready faster than she is, you know.
Exactly. Like, the mind is good to override that. I have caught myself do that a few times, even in the recent years where, you know, I know better. But then it's actually not in do you 100% stick to your boundaries or not. It is also in how do you work with what happens. Do you go into the shame and the guilt trip of, oh my God, no, I did this and I allowed her. Oh my God. You know, do you go into the drama? Or how do you, like, when you have this knowledge and yet you cross your boundaries, how would you advise someone to kind of deal with that?
I think I would firstly invite a lot of compassion in, and I would say, speak about it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you can, share this with your friend, with your partner, like, share how you felt.
Mm-hmm.
I really think there is so much power in not keeping quiet anymore, mm-hmm. because we all do things that we maybe didn't want to do, but the layer that's even heavier than the actual thing is the shame that we put on it. So I believe we need to give voice to it so that we can forgive ourselves and learn from that. And I also think that there is something about, like, sometimes it can sound, maybe for men, if there's any men listening, mm-hmm. that, like, oh, we're blaming the men for being
too
fast,
love you.
You know. But really, this is like a call to the women to take self-responsibility that you are the gatekeeper.
Yes.
You know, when you look her into the eyes, you somehow realize that, wow, this is my job now. Mm. And I felt like I was growing up a notch there. And I was seeing my vulva. It was like, okay, now I really need to show up because I am the one keeping the boundaries here. I am the one saying yes and no to who is entering her. This is on me.
Wow, I love that you bring that in. And maybe I want to like hone that into what you shared before with the story of the sacred union between Joshua, also known as Jesus, and Mary Magdalene, where in the mystical Christianity, in the old texts that were not only translated by the Christian church and male translator, but actually when female translators also went and look at the scriptures, a whole nother meaning and a whole different flavor of the teachings came through. And it's actually in them being this tantric couple where Mary Magdalene, the priestess that is said to be trained in the temples of Isis in Egypt, that was walking side by side with Jesus, Joshua, right? And it is said that it was their union that initiated Jesus to be able to reach this higher state of consciousness and also the so-called magical doings, the magical powers. It was in the power of the feminine initiatrix. And so often I see, you know, in the spiritual community, women wanting men to lead and take initiative. And there is a subtle dance there, because it's actually the feminine that decides, always the feminine that invites, right, through the energetics, not necessarily taking that physical action always, but it is in her saying yes or no. And then how do we work with this subtle guidance? What are we being invited into?
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, I also just want to mention a little trauma awareness, because I definitely noticed that in me, it's still coming up sometimes, and it has been a big theme, is the trauma response of fawning, especially when it comes to having sex and allowing someone to penetrate me. There is something that happens, which is like sometimes like there's part of me that really feels like, oh, you know, I feel ready, but then my body doesn't feel ready. But then there is also other times when I don't really feel ready, but there is part of me that thinks I need to be ready so that I can make sure that the guy still wants me or loves me, you know, and that understanding that I need to kind of give, offer something. And this is not a conscious thought at all in me when this happens. So, and that is what trauma response is. You know, it happens to protect you, to stay in this loving relationship that you perceive you need to play out this role.
Yeah.
Because that was maybe something you had to do in, you know, when you grow up. So that is our social nervous system that's at play here.
Yeah. And I love the aspect that you said, you know, will I be loved? Will this person still love me?
Yeah.
I think this is a huge part of the way that we often sexually engage. Like, I noticed that in myself, that if I could, I would just want to make love all the time. But when I dig deeper, it is not because of the hedonism, even though I love it, but it is because a part of me still deeply associates lovemaking as that connection to the divine, as that experience of God. And I just want to be in touch with this divine love all the time, that I feel sexuality is such a direct gateway to it. But when actually, I think in this case, it is that connection to love that guides you into honoring your boundaries, honoring your pace, honoring the temple of your body, the greatness of your love, the beauty of your spirit in knowing how to move and exchange this sacred energy. And the safer we feel, the nastier the sex gets. That's a pro tip. The more safe you can make, the safer space you can make, the more you can, the wider you can play in a way, because the more pleasure is accessible to you as well.
And the deeper also.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. And through that initiation that, is an invitation for any kind of gender in this sense, because working with our sexuality is working with our life force energy, is working with our aliveness, with our capacity to receive life, the beauty that it holds. Sexuality is really the perfect playground for it. And thank you for doing this sacred work of awakening women to the beauty and the power of their bodies. I really, really feel like this is such a crucial part in our evolution journey, in our reclamation of the beauty that this life offers us. Teaching us how to be in the ceremonial way of living, dancing through life in deep connection with ourselves, with the divine, with all aspects of life.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, in the end, it is another way to meet ourselves even more deeply. Whether we journey this by ourselves, sacred sexuality, or whether we journey this with our partner, it's an invitation to meet parts in ourselves that we maybe haven't entered before.
So to kind of bring it all together, I would love to know if there's something else that feels important that this wisdom of the womb wants to reveal through you, and a little invitation to those who want to deepen into this work with you, perhaps.
I think it's like follow your whispers, because oftentimes when we work with sexuality, when we work with the yoni, the womb, we have a lot of pain and a lot of shame connected to it. So there will be parts of you that will scream, no, 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 I don't ever want to go there. But there might also be parts of you that are, you know, whispering. They're whispering like, but that is where the gold lies. And maybe part of you knows that. And yeah, I just want to, and like, say that it's okay to follow the whispers. It's okay to follow the whispers. And I am here to meet you in all that is there. And I want to, you know, it's about moving towards what there is rather than away from. It's about meeting everything that there is. And so the invitation here is to just to gather in circle for the Yoni circle. And we start already next week, Thursday. So this is the 12th of October, and we will be journeying for 8 weeks together. And I mean, maybe if you're anything like me, a group container can be the most powerful space to show up for these things. Because I've been trying to de-armor my womb and yoni by myself for quite a while, and it just isn't happening when it's just me. Because there was so much, and there still is some stuff, but there was so much fear in my womb that it just almost like froze every time I felt like, okay, now I'm gonna do it, and it didn't. So I needed that group to keep me accountable and to feel, you know, almost like, let's hold hands and step over that threshold,
because it is a collective work.
it is yeah,
and it belongs to the whole lineage of women, so fuck yeah. And, you know, on that note, when you were like, follow the whispers that you hear, fuck yeah. And I think those whispers come in many different forms. And I gotta bring my human design into this, because based on the kind of authority that we have, the most aligned and truthful whispers for our energetic blueprint can look, feel different for each one of us. So one, to experiment with that. Two, to maybe know your design and then experiment some more, because it is all an experimentation. And three, I'm also opening up a sacred group journey with Cosmic Witch one-on-one, where we are literally going to explore like different ways to receive this wisdom, to hear your intuition, different ways of channeling, of connecting to the whispers and all the forms that they can come through. And in that program, which is going to start at the end of October, you are going to be a guest teacher, connecting us deeper into the wisdom of the womb, of how do we connect to guidance, to this space of infinite possibility, how to work with the power of the yoni, guiding us deeper into it. Will you?
Yeah, and maybe also bring some little ritual, you know. Like to sprinkle a little ritual wherever I go.
You really are the embodiment of it. I had a pleasure to spend some time with you in your home in Stockholm, and then had some sister time in the forests of Sweden, and it's always magical. You really embody what you teach, and it's such a beautiful way to see you in your dharma, in your medicine. And yeah, I truly honor you for claiming it, even though I know, being such a powerful priestess that you are, it also comes with some deeper parts that need to be reclaimed. So thank you for speaking up, even when that feels difficult.
Yeah, thank you for saying that encapsulates it a lot.
How can people connect with you?
I can connect with me on Instagram, where my name is Dora Sophia Rose. And my website. Yeah, I think those are the main two ways to connect.
Beautiful. And you also do some in-person events?
I do. I have just held a womb and voice ceremony in Stockholm. And might do another one, depending on where the flow of life takes me this
winter. The whisper calls you.
Yeah. And sometimes the whisper is more like a scream, you know. It can take on very different sounds, let's say.
Exactly. That's what exactly my point.
Yeah. And I do one-on-one sessions in Diamring, and especially Yoni Diamring. Those are my favorite ones.
Fuck yes. Amen.
But yeah, I also wanted to say, Feva, that I am really excited to both be a guest teacher on your course, but mostly also to experience your wisdom and the codes that you carry, and to see what is hidden in the Akashic records and how to connect to that. So I'm super excited.
You know, that's the spiritual sovereignty that I was saying throughout the podcast. That is really our birthright, to be connected with this deeper knowing that lives inside of us, that goes beyond the fears and the coding and the doubts and the contractions, that aliveness inside of us that spreads us throughout the cosmos. And so, yeah, Cosmic Witch one-on-one. You can also find me at Feva Cristina on Instagram and cosmicasplorations.com for my website. You will find more information about the upcoming course on there and on my Instagram. We are going to be super thrilled to hear what this conversation has brought to you. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to Dora and myself, and you can expect more magic coming from us. And we would love to feel yours as well. So yeah, Feel free to share this with those who you think might be enriched and nourished by this conversation. And we will see you around in the cosmos, on the grounds, everywhere, in all of the sacredness of life. Thank you, Dora.
Thank you so much. Much love from my womb to yours.